I remember 45 years or so, because this was my home church back in the day. We did that 4-mile hike. I loved it. At the end, though, I was really thirsty, and they had these pears. And it was the juiciest pear I remember for my entire life. It was so good. But anyway, 4-mile hike, it's a beautiful hike. So I hope it goes well.
You're invited.
Thank you. Thank you. Anyway, thank you for your support. It's been a busy week up at the school. We got started this week on Wednesday, and it was nice to have the staff back. It's going to be a great year. We started with 125 students. High school has 37, so we're up there. So that's really nice. And we need a few more elementary kids. Would love to hit 40 in the high school. The students are always looking, are we going to get any more kids? Who do you have? They're excited about that. But before we get started, let's pray. Lord, I just want to thank you for all the blessings that you give to us. And I pray that you'll continue to be with our church service, that we may gain a blessing and that we may leave here stronger with you in our hearts and be able to minister to those that we come in contact throughout the week. We pray in your name. Amen. So as you start the school year, you have to make up your curriculum. And you have all these different syllabuses that you have to make up. And for a teacher, that's pretty important to know where you're going, what's your goal. Well, this year I started thinking about it, and I've kind of thought about it a little bit in the past, about my grandparents. Now, my dad, when he was born, his parents were in their 40s. And so my dad's 91. So my grandparents were born in the 1800s, 1882 and 1888 for my dad's parents. And I think, what was their world like? Just two generations before mine. Now, they did go to school in a horse and buggy. There were no cars that took them, and there were no light bulbs. They did have the kerosene lamps. So their world was significantly different than my parents and mine. Well, my parents, born in the 1920s, they went through the Great Depression. My dad's parents, since they were older, really didn't work, and they hunted and fished. They had a farm up on the Illihee River and out of Port Orford. My dad just loved it as a little boy. They lived off the land. And my other grandparents, they were from Greece and Turkey, and they came over to the United States during World War I on a steamship. And they came across the United States on a steam engine train. And then my grandpa, they met and married in San Francisco, brought my grandma up to Crescent City in a steam engine, a steamboat. So their world was different. My grandfather on my mom's side was a miller. He ground flour. So when he came to the United States, he heard there was a mill in Crescent City and went. Well, he became a logger, because that was the type of mill they had there. My grandma in Istanbul was an apprentice as a seamstress. That was her job for her life. And as they came to America and they settled in, they made a good life. My grandfather had an eighth grade education back in the old country. But he was a owner and of a business and was successful. So what the skills they learned was way different than the skills my mom and dad learned. My mom was the first person in her family to ever graduate from college as a teacher. And then my parents, you know, they saw airplanes, they saw someone land on the moon. And yes, my dad is still alive and he knows about the internet, no concept. I'll be sitting there with my iPhone and or my iPad, and he said, what are you doing, Ann? And I said, well, I'm on Facebook. What? And so I tried to say, it was kind of like a fax. Information goes over the wire. No, he doesn't get it. He enjoys it when I show it to him, but to access that information, he doesn't get it. And then there's my generation. I started teaching in 1981. And when I was in college, I didn't have a computer. I typed. And if I made an error, I had to, on a paper, I had to rip out the paper and start all over. And if you had didn't leave room for your footnotes, oh, that was sad. I always said if I had a computer and spell check, my GPA would be so much better. So, when I started teaching in 81, it was the first information time I got access to a computer. We had a Trash 80. Anyone know what a Trash 80 is? And then PET, and then the Commodore 64. We were so excited to have that. And yes, I do know what a floppy disk is. And then in the 90s, they developed that internet. I know it was started before. I don't know who started it. But anyway, it really started to become a thing in the 1990s. And I remember as I had just moved up to Portland, and we were, how do we get this into the classroom? And we were really working on getting computers, and computers weren't cheap, and budget was tight. And also in the 90s, you had the $100 tennis shoe. So then when I became a principal in 1999, the principals used to go out for breakfast. And Gail Crosby, if you know him, he was a principal then, but he's our superintendent now. He said, yeah, the cell phones, they're getting cameras on them. And we're like, really? And so you just think in those few years, those 17 years, how things have changed. I have a really good camera, probably better than any camera back in 2000, just on my little phone. And this really is a computer. Have you ever gone or you're out eating at a restaurant and you're talking and you want to know a fact? What do you do? Look it up. It's at our fingertips. So how do we, as teachers and parents, make education relevant? Because with all of this information, in the last 10 years, you think how that information has changed our thinking in society. It has changed us, and I'm saying the United States and the world at large, how we view race, how we view education, immigration, marriage, even religion. It has made a shift in our general population. And how do we as church leaders and parents stay relevant and keep pace with it so that we can keep our core values and teach our core values to our children? If the world's knowledge is growing so fast and that is having such an impact on society, we must constantly be aware of the most significant shifts of in that knowledge and how it influences us, both as individuals and as a church. We need to make sure that we understand where that information is taking us so that we can stay steady on what our core beliefs are. According to the Bible, the true measure of a professional is the eagerness to continually improve. The Bible does support lifelong learning. In Proverbs 1:5, it states, "Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance." One of our church's responsibility is to communicate our vision to our members and to our young people. I was reading in a recent magazine called Advanced Education. Does anyone get that besides the teachers? David, you do. And there was an article in there by George Knight. And he stated that Adventist education has to have three main elements to really be true to our core beliefs or to our core. And I'd like to just go over briefly what that article was about. He starts out with a quote by Millicent McIntosh. And she says, "Nothing can be more important in a free society than the clear statement of goals for education." We need to have those clear goals. They need to be well stated. And as teachers, as we come back each year, we think about what are our goals. And when Ellen White strongly encouraged the church to develop back in the day, a quality educational system. It wasn't just an afterthought. Because you think throughout the centuries how education has been used. Any new government or organization or church group that has come in has made sure that they had access or control of what was going through the educational system. So if you think about it, you had the Soviets, and you had of Russia, and you had Nazi Germany. The main thing that they did to make sure that their ideology continued was to have the control of the youth in their minds. But also, if you think about it, the Lutherans in the Reformation, they made sure that there was an educational system. In fact, the Lutheran educational system is right there with the Adventist system as being as spread out and well-developed. Because, as George pointed out, you want the kids and the people to be able to read the Bible and interpret it for themselves and not have it be told how they should interpret the Bible. So that was key. When the Puritans came over to the United States, they understood the same thing. They started Harvard because they realized to keep the civil and religious leaders up to date and well-versed in the Bible principles, they had to have a system to educate them. And so, too, with the Adventists. Back in the 1800s, in the 1870s and 80s, as our church was starting, Ellen White and the church leaders strongly believed that an educational system needed to be put in place so that our values, what we were teaching and believing as a church, could be spread to the world. So we can ask ourselves, why Adventist education or education? What is it all about? So in his article, Elder Knight made three points that we need to have. Whether you are homeschooling, because I know people homeschool, these both, either at home or at school, are important that we have so that our youth can have that well-rounded education that will take them from not only the earth to heaven. So the first one was basically the education itself, that we develop our young people academically or intellectually, socially, and professionally. Ellen White had urged that we reach a higher standard of education, and as we teach, that we would teach them so the students would be able to pass the test. So like Loma Linda, and she was taught, that was one of the things that she was talking about, that as they go through Loma Linda and they learn medicine, that they can take the state test and be able to go out into practice. And the same with Andrews University, that as they developed that and the people learned, the students learned, they went out and they became missionaries and spread what our church was all about. In education, I need to find, the goal of education is to develop the whole person for the whole time period, both here on earth and in the world to come. And there's an emphasis also on service, that as we educate our children, it's not just for here, just all about them, but it's about what our mission as a church was. We had a special mission. We're not just another denomination. We have the word that God is coming again. We want people to be prepared and to spread the good news to all the land. And that's one of the things that as education we do. The second aspect is to... my notes got out of place, is the spiritual aspect, that we teach our children what the Bible says about the end time also, and how we know that Jesus came down and he is coming again, he is full of grace, and that we will be able to be with him in heaven. And the third one that he stated was that unique message that there is that end time and that we incorporate it into what we are teaching our children. And the healthiest school has the church and the school working together. I know in the Oregon Conference, have you heard of Together as One? It's from the Oregon Conference having pastors and teachers work together to make sure that our goal and our vision as a church is maintained. And this summer, we had several teachers again go down to a seminar at Loma Linda along with several pastors. Pastor Mancia went, and so did the two pastors from Medford. And we are working together. In fact, this year, most of my staff don't know it yet because I haven't talked to them about it, or just a little bit. We are working, each community is working together for a project of how do we help the community at large, not our just our church community, but how what is needed in our Medford community, in our Jacksonville community. How do we as a church and a school, because I think we need to work hand in hand, how do we reach out? Because when you reach out and you touch someone just like Christ did and you minister to their needs, that's when you really get to the basics and they value what we as a church have. And so I've asked several of my staff to just give a little bit of a synopsis of what they're doing. Because this summer, all of them either went to school, did a seminar, they did something that they are that's directly impacting how they are teaching. And so I've asked several of them just to come up and say a few words about what they are doing to make this year relevant to the students and to add to that. First, Brad, you want to come up? Brad was telling us about what he did this summer. And we all were saying, now, when is this going to happen again? Because we're all very interested in it. So just a few minutes.
This will be very difficult. I spent 10 days in Utah in some of the most beautiful geology that we have here in this part of the west of the country. I think Mr. Lovelace spent some time there a few years ago. So to try to share 50 hours of presentations in three amazing field trips is near impossible. So in the light of what Ms. Campbell has shared, I'm hoping to share some resources with you because I feel like what I attended was very powerful. Now, I'm going to backtrack for a second. I'm not a scientist. I don't consider myself to be a science teacher either. Mr. Lovelace, Mr. Robinson, Mrs. Gregory, Mr. Baker, they are science teachers. So why would I go to a science conference, especially this year when I'm not going to be teaching science? Well, I felt like our church is at a crossroads, and we have important conversations that we are having within our church and outside the church. So what I have to share, I feel like, impacts homeschoolers, public school students, our Adventist students, and our church at large in the different networks that we have contact with. This was put on by the Geoscience Research Institute. Some of you are familiar with it. It is a division of the General Conference based in Loma Linda, and we have an all-star team of scientists, Seventh-day Adventist scientists, who have specialties from different parts of the world and have their feet in different parts of the world to really reconcile science with faith. Because so often they have seemed to be oppositional, right? You either are a science-based person or you have faith in the Bible. Well, these scientists have been showing us, and so much of this was new to me, just totally flat out new, that, you know, anyone who is any Christian creation-based scientist has to learn the ways of or the mind frame of the evolutionist and start there, and then is constantly on the lookout for how can science support what we already do believe. Now, I don't spend time at night worrying about these sorts of things. That's just me. That's my personality. I believe it. He said it. It's in Genesis. That's all I need. But that doesn't cut it for everyone. And if we are going to reach each and every person out there, We have to continue to be on the lookout for this. And these scientists have actually been very careful about stating we don't have all the answers. And there are holes in evolution from a science perspective, and there are holes in our creation theory as well. Okay, even though most of us here don't have any problem with that, but they are continuing to look from a science standpoint what can be done. Now, instead of giving, I could go on with some other notes from the conference, but what I really want to leave you with, because this is a lot better than me just telling you, this is something you can go out and do. We have a fantastic resource. I don't know if any of you have seen this yet, but this is the latest production of a textbook on origins and geology published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Some of you are familiar with Leonard Brand of Loma Linda, who's been there in the department for over 30 years. I mean, he's past retirement age. Arthur Chadwick from Southwestern University as well. They co-published this book. And now, I'm not getting paid anything to promote these books, but I feel like these are huge evangelism tools. And I'm going to leave this on the back, just if any of you want to thumb through it. This one's $50 on Amazon. But here's what the church has done. They worked in conjunction with the GRI and with the General Conference to make a downloadable copy free to anyone. So if you look at bulletin item number 11, Kimberly was kind enough to put that in there. You have the website, and you can download this free onto any device and read it, use it. And it's written in layman's terms so that even those of us, like me, who do not consider themselves to be hardcore scientists can use. It goes through, if you just want to look at macroevolution versus microevolution, there are chapters on that. If you want to look at the geology and the comparison between long ages and what. And so it includes those perspectives that are in there. But this is totally from an Adventist creationist standpoint. Who is there at this convention? It was primarily for teachers and for principals, but we had a great, great presence from our universities, biology professors, geology professors, and the ministerial departments were there from many, many, many conferences. We had field trips that took us out to Zion National Park. We went to Bryce. We went to the Grand Canyon to just see some of these beautiful, beautiful places that God allows us to see his handiwork. So I would just encourage you to go to any of these, go to the GRI, the Geoscience Research Institute website. Tim Standish, the Australian guy, some of you have seen some of his amazing videos on, random mutations and whatnot, and just, all the cases that we might see for creation. Those are all accessible there. And there are many, many, many resources out there. So use the powerful technology that we have because there are some great things that can be seen. Takeaways, and I'll close with this because I know there are others that need to share. Takeaways were really, what these Adventist scientists basically said, that from a standpoint of the actual weight of everything, I'm on my wrong page here again. I'll have to skip forward. See if I can find, where am I? That really both Brand and Chadwick, who are our long-term scientists there, were both basically stated that regarding the relative weight of the evidence, the scientific evidence is equally split from that standpoint. And so that's what drives them to continue to find, whether it be the fossil whales and those discoveries. That we cannot just say, well, this proves a biblical flood, but yes, it definitely continues to point to it more and more in our archaeology and those sorts of things. So I think we just need to prayerfully consider that we need to ask God to help us and help our scientists to continue to find these things. And also, one other side note for our up-and-coming students, we need students who are not afraid to jump into those areas of science, because to study geology is definitely a tough field because it is dominated by the secular naturalist worldview. And there are PhD offerings that are fully paid and funded through the state, through Loma Linda, many, many places where students can continue in these areas. So I will leave these resources in the back, and I just pray that they will help you with conversations with the general public and in your homes and wherever that might be. So sorry for taking too long for whoever's next.
There wasn't a time on you. It was 12:30. Okay, and then all the teachers really have gone to Exceed down at Loma Linda. Rachel Davies went last summer, and Crystal Gregory went this summer, and I've asked both of them to come up and just say a few words of how they are using what they learned there in their classroom. A lot of it is project-based learning. I know our conference is asking that we do more project-based learning. You'll hear more about that as you go come for back-to-school night, too, but throughout all the grades, it is impactful. So, ladies?
So, Anne asked me to talk about Exceed, and Exceed has been going on for the past several years, and it is a conference that is down by Loma Linda, or down in Loma Linda, and they put it on in partnership with several of our other Adventist universities. And its purpose and design is to help teachers and pastors give them tools to meet the demand. Like Anne was saying, in our ever-changing society, we are just presented with so much technology and so much science that there is a huge demand for people to go into those degrees. And so the idea is that if we can inspire students in the classroom to get interested into science and math, then they will go into those areas, and in the future we'll be able to meet the demand that all these jobs are required in those areas. The Exceed stands for, let me get this straight, Excellence in Science Experiential Education. So basically what that means is they're wanting to get kids hands-on in science, observation, experimentation, that kind of thing. And you might have heard the term STEM in the classroom. It's science, technology, electronics, and math. In our Adventist schools, we kind of took it a step further and made it STREAM, and we added in religion, art, and service. Yeah, so it's streams. Thank you, Rachel. So, you know, that's one of the great things about our Adventist schools is that we're able to take it a step further and to include God into those kinds of things. So each day, there was probably about 100 of us there this last summer, and it was teachers and pastors. And every day we would get together and there would be a keynote speaker, and then we would go into breakout sessions. And there were so many to choose from, it was hard to decide what it was that you wanted to learn about that day. And this was very intensive. We had to be up and ready to go by 7 o'clock in the morning to get on the bus to make it over to Loma Linda, and we didn't leave there until sometimes at 6 p.m. But it was so worth it. I mean, the wealth of information that we were able to walk away with was just inspiring. It made me want to go back into my classroom immediately and just share with the kids. These are the amazing things that I've learned. Some of the classes, the sessions that I went out, the breakout sessions that I attended, included a class in computer coding, an introductory to iPad apps in the classroom, several classes that were science demonstrations, one in which they lit my hand on fire. It was amazing. And, you know, I still got it. So they said you could do that one in the classroom, but Anne told me I had to find out from the conference president. But it's pretty cool. So, I mean, just so many ways that, you know, kids can get inspired and realize that there's so much out there in science and technology that, you know, is just fun. One of the things they pointed out, I took the coding class, and, you know, coding is computer language. And with all of the computer, you know, phones, and it's all run off of computer coding. And they were mentioning that Facebook alone can't keep up with the demand for the need for coding, people who understand this computer language. And there's just, they said, 400 jobs that they can't fill. And so you can see that the need for our future is so great, and so their stress is to give us as teachers the tools to inspire students to take a second look at these kinds of jobs and, you know, to get interested in them. what they're doing also at Exceed, they were talking to us about project-based learning. And the idea there is that you put a lot of the learning into the hands of the kids. You present them with a question and you say, now how can we make this work? And you basically get them to become scientists in the classroom, to take the learning into their own hands, to problem solve, to brainstorm, to build, and then, you know, sometimes failure is a part of it, but they learn from it, and then, you know, try it again. And so it was just an amazing opportunity, amazing experience that, you know, like I said, inspired me to inspire my students. And so it was one of the things where the Oregon Conference, it's my privilege to work in the Oregon Conference, where they value this. And they want us to have these skills. And so the Oregon Conference, in partnership with Loma Linda, has been, you know, every year sending different schools to go experience Exceed because they want this quality education in our classrooms. And I think that's just phenomenal. It was a great experience.
Okay, I was at Exceed the summer before. And so I didn't know when I went. They said it was going to be, you know, a really good conference, had a lot of great skills to teach besides, you know, covering technology. And it would be helpful in teaching. So I thought, okay, this will be a good class to teach or to take and to use in teaching. And they didn't warn me. Nobody mentioned that the project didn't end when you left. No, you were supposed to not only, I was going to implement it anyway, so I guess it didn't matter. But they then gave us kind of a forum, an online forum, which is a challenge for me, so I'm learning a lot about the technology through that program. But you come up with your own project, and you can do many, but at least one, and then you implement it through the year. So I took a long time trying to figure out, because I have kindergarten, and they're very smart, but they have a lot of skills yet to learn, so I was trying to figure out, what am I going to choose that would be a real-world project that would have STEM, it would have the science, technology, engineering, math component, but it would also cover art and religion and service. So it took me a while to figure that out, and some of you may know I came up with chickens. That is what came to me. I prayed about it. I decided that one way for us to kind of encourage the kids to think about other people would be to do a service project, and I tried to pick one that, you know, we could center our art and our math and other things around as well. So we raised chickens, and we took eggs, fertilized eggs, and I have to say that part was a learning experience. I won't call it a failure, but the eggs did not hatch. We were sad, but we overcame that hurdle. We went and got chicks from the Grange. So the next day, takes 21 days of waiting for them to hatch, and I gave up my weekends. If you saw me going up there on Sabbath, it was to turn the eggs. And then since they didn't hatch, we still learned how to do it. And we had our little group of 13 baby chicks, and not one of them died. The kids took care of them. We prayed for them, and I think they're blessed. And our goal with these chickens, the main goal, was to use them to provide eggs for food. So we wanted to make it a viable, sustainable project. So we will, in fact, be selling some of the eggs this year, and they're nice, healthy chickens, and the kids feed them lots of grass and extra things, and their insides are bright orange, and we've done science projects with them. All the kids like to help collect the eggs in turn, and at first we took the first few of them home so they could enjoy them. But our goal was to help give food to people who don't have enough food, and my goal for them was to think about people who are in need, who we can help, and I get emotional when I talk. Sorry. I try not to. So the service part of that, last year at the end of the year, we had enough eggs, and we went up, just made a little procession. All the kids took their dozen eggs and walked up together in line up to the kitchen cafeteria. And we met with Coach, who does the free breakfast program twice a week up there. And he told our students about why he started that, and they were able to present those eggs to him. And so that really touched my heart.
Thank you. Julie, our first grade teacher last year, I think she was the one that started the garden. that was part of the project that she did from Exceed. And so it's fun to see the kids go out to the back of the classroom and through the fences to look at the garden and the chickens at recess time. So, and the other thing that was a blessing this summer was the Oregon Conference asked or put a program together for each of the academy's student association leaders. We say to a student, well, you're a leader. Well, okay, but how do we help them to lead and to go forward and to be leaders in our church? And so they spent 5 days, I believe, kind of roughing it a little bit. And Ryan Robinson was the teacher that went with them. And just I asked Ryan to say a few things about the leadership opportunities that were provided for our kids.
Yeah, at Rogue Valley, we have a student association who plans social events, banquets. We just had our first SA event this week, Handshake Day. It was an opportunity for all the students to meet each other, and we have quite a few new students in the high school this year, so I was especially happy that we were able to do that event and make the new students feel welcome. We played slip and slide kickball out on the softball field there, and that was a big hit. But yeah, so this summer, the conference with Big Lake has started a new program for SAs of all the high schools, where they'll take them out for a long weekend and do hiking, rock climbing, backpacking, and all the time they're doing leadership training with the students. They have a program where they do leaders of the day. So our SA went, and they would pair up the students, and so I think on the first day, our president, Haley, and vice president, Paris, were the leaders of the day. And so they were responsible to make sure the group needed to be where it was supposed to be on time. They weren't didn't want to get lost, make sure we were able to keep our schedule throughout the day. And I think that was a really good experience for the students to kind of, have that opportunity to, be in a position of responsibility and get them comfortable for, the responsibilities they have in the year upcoming. And a pastor from the area, Randy Hill, was also involved in that program, and he did some essay-specific workshops with our students to help them plan events. They worked through the process of planning a single event. And I was just really amazed to see how motivated and inspired the students were by talking to Pastor Randy. Almost all the students commented to me, Mr. Robinson, this weekend was way more fun than I thought it would be. And I was like, that's good. That was the goal, because I know we were happy the students were able to go, because I know students are very busy during the summer. They have vacations, driver's ed, but we were happy to have almost all of our SA students go, and I think they were very blessed by that experience, and I hope that our SAs will be able to continue to do that in the future, because I'm very excited about how motivated our SA is this year to plan fun events for our students.
One of the couple of things that they did there was provide conflict resolution skills. Last year they had when you have people who want to all be leaders and you're planning an event, that doesn't work very well. You need to know how to kind of work together. And so it gave them some of the skills on how to work through issues that they might have. And Randy also showed them how that they can do some spiritual events also, because they're in charge of the chapels and in the weeks of prayer and what they can do and community service. So when they got back, because Ryan and I are sponsors of the SA, is what we can do in our community as an SA also. And that leads to the last one. Kirk Baker, are you still here? In the back, my favorite place. On service and what we do spiritually at the school, Kirk is, along with Pastor Michael, our Bible teachers on campus, and so they lead out in that. And so I've asked Kirk to say a few words.
I think we're in a good afternoon now. Ann asked me to talk a little bit about some of the mission and service projects that we do on campus. And what, really, one of our goals and our missions is mission work. We try to be intentional about teaching these kids how to be servants, how to serve others. And the best way to teach that is to have them learn by doing. You know, the more we get them out there, the better they get at it. I know it's kind of a bad time to make this analogy, but it's kind of like a campfire. The more wood you add to the fire, the bigger and brighter that flame is going to get. The more times we get those students out in the community, out serving others, the brighter and higher that flame of service is going to get for them. So throughout the year, we try to do one service day per quarter, and we've actually done some really cool events. I'm really impressed with the students and their enthusiasm for it. Some of the things that we've done with them is helping out with food banks. We've taken them, Ryan took them to go do trash pickup on Roxy Ann. One of the things I got to do was go down and play with some at-risk kids just for the afternoon, and they had a blast. I had a blast. Some of them went and helped clean up an animal shelter and just get their facility looking good again. And another thing I got to do with them was drive around Medford and just hand out homeless kits to people that looked homeless, which I'm really glad I didn't make the mistake of, here's a homeless bag, and why? Oh, could have been awkward. But actually, it turned out to be a really big, really high day for our kids. Another bigger event for our kids is our annual mission trip that we do. I think most everyone here knows that last year they went to New York City, and it was really a big blessing for them. They got to help in a soup kitchen. They got to also play with some at-risk kids there. They did some street ministry, and they got to go during a massive cold snap and blizzard, so they got to help shovel snow in New York. And I was really touched that the majority of the high school kids actually went on the mission trip. It was really good to see them excited about it, and I think most of them will plan on going again this year. Is it where we're going next year, public knowledge?
We're talking about, you can say it. We're working towards it.
We're working to go to Costa Rica next year with our kids, and I think that they are very excited about it, and I do see the majority of them trying to go on that trip as well. So other than these big events, though, really, our goal is just to make these students of ours every day, just serving who and where they can. I was on Senior Survival this last week, and we were talking about students or servant leadership with our seniors, and they're really fired up about it, and it made me really fired up to see them excited about how they can just serve everyone else in their school. So really, whether it's a service day, whether it's a mission trip, or whether it's your average Tuesday, I just want to say I'm thankful to this church for the example of being a servant and being a leader. And I want to say to my kids out here that are here now that I'm proud of how much you guys inspire me with how awesome your attitudes are when we do our mission trips. Thank you.
Thank you. So you can see that we have a full year planned. And I always tell the students is how can you go out from here and make a difference in your world? Yes, we need educated students. But without that spiritual component, we've missed the mark. Because public schools have good programs, but they need that spiritual to go out and they can make a difference. And I believe the Lord is coming soon. And our mission, our vision, our goal is to be ready when he comes and to have spread that word to the people, the community, and the world around us. And that's what we are hoping to do as a church and as a school at Rogue Valley Adventist Academy. And I ask that you keep our school in your prayers, that we can fulfill God's goal and mission for us at the school. Thank you.
Please join us in standing. Fittingly for you, I am praying as our closing hymn this evening. And we will sing all four stanzas. I have
was going to have all the students stand, homeschoolers and the kids up at the school, but you're all standing. So if you have a student next to you, put your hand on them. We're going to pray for them. Lord, I want to thank you that you are with us always, that you are promised that you will come again. And we pray that each of us will be ready, that we can spread that good news to others around us, that they may too accept you into their lives. And in the coming weeks, as we all get started with school, some up at Rogue Valley and some at public school and other schools all around and at home, I pray you'll be with each student and their teachers, that they may learn more about you, that they can develop that walk with you, and that together all of us may be ready when you come and go with you back to heaven. Amen.